live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news indeed on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh in this bulletin. The Taoiseach and coalition party leaders are being briefed on the cyber attack. Meanwhile, disruption continues at Letterkenny University Hospital as a result of what happened last Friday. We'll hear from the general manager of the hospital. Also in this bulletin, former Garda inspector Michael Harrison says he believes this goes back to a fault that was identified a number of months ago. And we'll also hear from the about the lifting of mandatory hotel quarantine. He doesn't believe it's going to happen for a while yet. Later in the bulletin, of course, we'll have the sports news with Oisin Kelly. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the briefing that's going on at the moment between the Taoiseach and the coalition party leaders on the cyber attacks. They're meeting with the National Cyber Security Centre and the HSC Chief Executive Paul Reid. Health officials still don't know exactly what information has been hacked and what potentially could be done with it. The HSC's Colm Henry says it's going to be very slow to get everything back up and running as normal.
It's going to be a painstaking, slow process, reopening them system by system, machine by machine, platform by platform to assess whether or not they've been invaded, encrypted, or information has been taken away. Mm-hmm. And we have to do that in a very safe way to protect the information there and to ensure then that as we reopen them, that the systems aren't still corrupted, aren't still damaged in some ways.
In the meantime, disruption continues to services at hospitals. Letterkenny University Hospital badly affected following that attack. All outpatient appointments at the hospital cancelled today as a result, as well as diagnostic services. The hospital is continuing with a number of critical surgeries and dialysis treatment. Eye clinics have also continued at the St Connell's campus. The emergency department and vaccination clinics operating as normal, but people can expect delays, and as a result of the impact on hospital systems, outpatients are being advised for the moment to assume outpatients' appointments are cancelled unless advised otherwise. Well, Sean Murphy is general manager at Letterkenny University Hospital. He says at present in the emergency department, it's like taking a step back in time.
We're back to the 1960s in terms of the our process, and as a result, patients coming into the department, everything will be multiple times slower. So again, we ask for the public's patience and cooperation. If you come to the emergency department, it will be a very, very slow process. When we're under pressure, there are delays. The delays will be magnified 10, 20 fold at the moment.
One more details on our website, highlandradio.com, and obviously as we get more information from Celta into the coming days, we'll have that information on our website as soon as we have it. Well, former Donegal Garda Inspector Michael Harrison has a master's degree in cybercrime and forensic computing. On today's 9 till noon show, he said the cyber attackers exploited a fault that was identified a number of months ago.
There was a flaw identified in the remote desktop protocol. This was identified by one of the security agents in the US back in October, but they didn't pass this information on to anybody else. Everybody has been working remotely from home, and it would appear that they exploited this fault. This is how they have been gaining access to systems, is by literally somebody sitting at home. There's an email comes in, and they'll click on this. And the initial attack, what happens, the user won't notice anything. This is a reconnaissance attack. The first, it's just not one malware that's deployed on the system. There could be two or three malwares, deployed. But the first one will be a click on a mouse. The user will not notice anything. And they're going into the system, find out exactly what type of computer it is, what's the username, what's their access level to the system, who has granted them the access to this particular system. And then they escalate the attack from there until they eventually get to an administrator, and then they will exploit that account, and they'll drop their own fake accounts, and then they go in literally looking and identifying where the servers are. And on a given day, they will run literally pieces of software that you can legitimately buy, and this is legitimate software used for legitimate purposes, but these people are using it for the purpose of the malware.
And that was former Garda Inspector Michael Harrison there. To COVID now. And the Taoiseach says he would be surprised if the government lifts mandatory hotel quarantine for EU countries tomorrow. Cabinet ministers will consider a memo on foreign travel and easing restrictions over the coming months. Leo Varadkar says he believes it'll be August before international travel returns for holiday purposes. He also believes that mandatory hotel quarantine will be here for some time to come.
I believe there is a cabinet memo on travel tomorrow. I haven't actually seen it yet, but I'm not aware of any proposal that we would take EU countries off this tomorrow. So I think that's probably incorrect. I'd be surprised if that was the case, because there are still a number of EU countries with a very high incidence of the virus, and some others where there are variants of concern. So if they're off the list, I don't think it'll be tomorrow.
Retail Excellence is appealing to people to be patient this week as the reopening rush continues. Non-essential shops opened today, with many stores reporting steady streams of customers, but they say it was calmer than the pre-Christmas reopening. Letterkenny Chamber President Michael Margie said today there has been a huge amount of work to get to the point we're now at.
Tremendous news for both businesses and customers. Everybody's really looking forward to it. And it's really good for people's social health to get out and about, and for people to get back to work, you know, to get up in the morning and get back to their routine and to meet people and to talk to people. And you can feel the buzz this morning coming in the road. There's a lot more traffic on the road as well, so it's good to see that happening. And I suppose as well as that, just over the last few months, it has been very stressful for everyone, and now we can see light at the end of the tunnel. It's something that's clearly material.
Well, the government is being urged to provide clarity and details on when businesses can gradually bring employees back to the office. A new survey from IBEC shows nearly 4 out of 5 businesses could be back to the workplace by September if government guidelines allow. Of those, 21% are working to bring their employees back within the next 3 months. IBEC's CEO Danny McCoy says businesses should be allowed to gradually bring employees back over the course of the next number of months.
Traditionally, September, everyone's coming back to college, school, and lots more people returning from their summer holidays into the work environment. It's important to stagger that out. It would be criminal if the staggering involved office taking place after those again, after the return to schools and college in September. Need to get ahead of that.
More jobs could be on the way to the industrial estate in Gwyddor following confirmation today of a multi-million euro contract for the packaging company ProAmpac. The plant produces packaging for one of Europe's largest pet food manufacturers under the new contract, which has just been agreed with support from Uthras na Gcaoithe. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
ProAmpac Donegal merged with the former company RAP, Rapid Action Packaging, and now employs 200 people in Gwyddor. Announcing the contract this afternoon, Minister Charney McConlough said it is expected to facilitate site production expansion and further job creation, which he believes will make Gwyddor a global centre of pet food and sustainable ready-to-eat packaging manufacturing. Longford-based C&D Foods is one of the largest pet food manufacturers in Europe, and this contract will see ProAmpac become the strategic supplier of pet food flexible packaging for C&D Foods operations in Ireland and across its European operations. A key element of the contract is the development of a recyclable and more sustainable pet food pouch, which is currently being trialled by C&D Foods. The new packaging is made in Gwyddor, with a market launch expected later this year.
The newly elected leader of the Ultra-Unionist Party has vowed to protect the Good Friday Agreement that his party helped create. Doug Beattie has also promised to offer a progressive and unifying agenda if his appointment is ratified by the Ultra-Unionist Council next Thursday. The Upper Ban MLA was the only candidate to come forward to replace Steve Aiken. Speaking today, he accused other parties of spinning lies about being able to simply vote away the protocol. That, he says, cannot be done.
Yes, we need to get rid of it, but we're not a party who stands with our hands in our pockets, sucking our teeth and saying, oh, we don't like the protocol. We have put up alternatives to replace the protocol. We have said quite clearly that we would support an SPS treaty with the European Union.
A British government watchdog has found no bias in the way the PSNI handled the controversial funeral of Bobby Storey last June. The Inspectorate of Constabulary carried out a review after it was announced that prosecutions would not be brought against 24 Sinn Féin politicians. With more, here's Bob Huggins.
The report found police prioritised public security over enforcement of COVID-19 regulations without biasing one community over another. About 2,000 mourners lined the streets in Belfast for Mr. Storey's funeral at a time when strict COVID-19 regulations were in place. The watchdog said it understood why the PSNI took this approach, given the likelihood of tensions and because regulations were confusing. It also says the PSNI took a consistent approach to investigating other alleged breaches and concludes that much of the public criticism of the PSNI was unwarranted. PSNI Chief Constable Simon Byrne welcomed today's findings.
The Ministers for Housing and Finance are being urged to appear before the Dáil to explain why the state invested public money in cuckoo funds. Yesterday, the Business Post reported state funds had been used to buy up houses before they reached the market. Housing spokesperson for the Social Democrats, Cian O'Callaghan, has written to the Dáil's Business Committee calling for Ministers Dara O'Brien and Pascal Donoghue to appear before the Dáil on the issue.
I'm calling for the Minister for Finance and the Minister for Housing to come to the Dáil this week to answer questions about why state funds are being used to build homes that are then sold on to investment funds, and why state funds, in fact, are being used to buy up homes in competition with first-time buyers.
The Cathaoirleach of the Donegal Municipal District is calling for more Garda resources to be put in place to combat what's been described as a huge increase in drug use in Donegal. Figures provided at the latest sitting of the Joint Policing Committee showed that detections for the sale and supply of drugs in the county have almost trebled. Councillor Micheál Nochtain says the use of drugs needs to be stamped out for once and for all.
At the meeting, it was produced to us the reports, and the figures basically showed us a huge increase in drugs in the county. So basically, I called on the commissioner basically to put basically more resources into basically dealing with this problem, because it's a serious problem and we want to make sure that we take drugs off the street.
And indeed, this is something that has been escalating over the past number of years also.
Yes, I mean, you know, it's getting to be a very big problem, not alone, you know, in you know, the bigger towns, but also in the smaller towns and villages. And basically, is it taking down more resources into it and take the drugs off the street.
And indeed, in your position as manager of the Clanree Hotel, you have seen things change with people socialising over the years from when it was solely drink to now, unfortunately, drugs.
Yes, I mean, you know, the mentality of people with drugs is probably more, you know, more violent as compared to people with drink. Years ago, people with drink would probably, you know, fall asleep in that. But with drugs, basically, more people are more kind of violent and more kind of not themselves in that mean. And, you know, it is a bigger danger to people working in the hospitality business. But, you know, the last thing we want is basically, you know, drugs going into, you know, young children and families, I mean, because it just, you know, destroys the families, and that's very bad for them.
And indeed, the figures relayed at the meeting were startling. Would you be hopeful that something could be done? As you say, you're calling for more resources, that this could bring the numbers down?
Yes, I mean, I think basically, and I realise the guards were working with the pandemic and that and COVID. I mean, you know, it was a tough year for everybody. And I think, you know, probably people sitting at home and, you know, and that. But I mean, I think now we need more resources and more guards into it to make sure that we stamp it out.
And that was Councillor Micheál Nochtain there speaking to Michaela Clark. Gardaí say with the county on the path to recovery, checkpoints and high visibility patrols will continue across Donegal. At the latest sitting of the county's Joint Policing Committee, Superintendent Gretty Sheridan urged people to continue maintaining social distancing and to keep washing hands. The dedicated phone line set up in Donegal to report breaches of COVID-19 regulations is to be wound down in the coming weeks.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland leisurewear range online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five. We say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games. Barry Cassidy will be in charge of Donegal's second game in Division 1 North of the Alliance National Football League. The Derryman has been named as the referee for Saturday's game with Monaghan and Ballybofey. Donegal will look to make it 2-1 from 2 after Saturday's 2-point win over neighbours Tyrone. That game will be discussed tonight on the DL debate. Joining Brendan Devaney will be Tyrone legend Peter Canavan.
I was hopeful of a decent performance. I wasn't expecting a win, but I wanted to see improvement, and I wanted to see an honest performance, and I think we got that. The boys themselves will be disappointed that they didn't win, but the fact of the matter is Donegal have been playing under a settled management now for a number of years. Really, it's a settled panel. Even through lockdown, Declan Bonner, Stephen Rochford, they knew exactly who their panel was. Probably they have a brave idea who their first 15 is, whereas Throne, we're having trials whenever the second lockdown came, and Fergal and Brian didn't even have a settled panel to work with. And they were only in the job. So it was difficult for them. So if you take all that into consideration, the fact that Throne ran Donegal pretty close, and if they hadn't got a man sent off, I would say it would have been even closer coming in the home straight. But there's no doubt in that Donegal are a wee bit ahead in terms of development. And the other big factor, Brendan, like so many other times before, when we comment on Donegal, to have a fabulous leader in Michael Murphy. And when Donegal need him more often than not, he steps up. And again, he was massive for them, I thought, over the weekend.
That's Tyrone legend Peter Canavan speaking to Brendan Devaney on this evening's DL debate. To even things up, we've got a Donegal great as well. Martin McHugh will also be on the programme, as will the president of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association, Micheál Nocton. The DL debate online, highlandradio.com, at 7 o'clock this evening, presented by Brendan Devaney, and it will also be aired after the news at 7 as well. Tipperary footballers have been dealt a major blow. Experienced defender Robbie Kiley has been ruled out for the rest of the inter-county season. That's due to a serious hamstring injury. Looks like he'll be out for between 4 to 6 months. Cross-channel soccer. Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer admits the fallout from recent fan protests has negatively affected his players. They lost their last two Premier League games against Leicester and Liverpool. On their most recent trip to Old Trafford, they had to arrive around 7 hours ahead of kickoff to avoid disruption and put beds in corporate boxes. Solskjaer says the congested schedule has been hard to deal with.
I just didn't want to use that as an excuse, because we lost the two games, but surely it's reason behind the performances and the results we've had. Physically, it is impossible for them to turn up and play at the intensity and the level that's required.
Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola says Kevin De Bruyne is back in training and feeling good, having missed the last two games through injury. It's a boost for the Premier League title winners, with a little under a fortnight until the Champions League final with Chelsea. One player who has excelled in his absence is Ferran Torres, who scored a hat-trick against Newcastle. Guardiola says he could play as a forward more often.
His position is a winger, of course, but it's an alternative that we have. So that's all. Like, Phil Foden can play in the wingers, like a striker as well, like attacking midfielder. Yeah, we have players that can play in different positions, and Ferran is one of them.
Leicester manager Brendan Rodgers has confirmed defender Johnny Evans will miss tomorrow's all-important Premier League trip to Chelsea. The Northern Ireland international came off injured during the FA Cup final win over the same opposition last Saturday. Gary Lineker, Rio Ferdinand and Gary Neville are among a number of ex-players who have helped launch a parliamentary petition calling for an independent regulator in English football. An open letter says fans have been appalled by the failed attempt of the so-called Big Six to create a European Super League. A government review's been set up, which will consider a regulator. Neville said it would level out the game.
It's been a turbulent 3 weeks in English football. A European Super League proposal that was launched by the top six clubs and was universally hated by everybody. There is one big opportunity now in this next few months to influence the outcome of English football and create a fairer game for all.
The Championship playoff semi-finals get underway this evening. First up at 6, Bournemouth host Brentford, and then at 8:15, Barnsley are taking on Swansea. Police are investigating claims that Rangers players use sectarian language during their title celebrations. The force say they're aware of a video circulating on social media and are assessing its contents. Meanwhile, the Scottish Football Association say sectarian singing, vandalism and physical damage by Rangers fans on Saturday brought embarrassment to the national game. A number of arrests were made in Glasgow city centre after the club was presented with the Scottish Premiership trophy. And finally, more than 80% of Japanese people that took part in a survey are against the idea of hosting the Olympics this year. The rescheduled Tokyo Games are less than 10 weeks away, and Japan expanded a coronavirus state of emergency last week due to a fourth wave of virus infections. The latest survey found 43% want the 2020 Games cancelled, and 40% want a further postponement. That's your sport, Donald.
Thank you, Washing. There are calls on Donegal County Council to carry out a full survey of the coastal area of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District in order to assess the needs of tourists. Ahead of the bathing season, the council says the rollout of seasonal services is progressing to address the needs of visitors to the county's beaches. Services include bathing water sampling, updating information boards, deploying lifeguards to designated beaches, and also waste services, with bins being deployed and litter arrangements being put in place. Councillor Ian McGarvey says the council is obliged to carry out checks to ensure that those visiting coastal areas are safe.
The reason I would bring it to the attention of the council that maybe a survey or a check on each and every place that's fairly busy during the summer, and that the facilities could be maybe improved on regarding everything that we'll say from the stranger. When the stranger goes to a beach, it's different to a person who lives beside it, because they're familiar with every step of the way right around it. And if they're climbing up places and so on, maybe some kind of stepping and so on would be there in a protective rail for them as well.
And Donegal should have more Gartha checks to crack down on speeding tractors and heavy goods vehicles, particularly as this is the start of Global Road Safety Week. The issue was raised by Councillor Terry Crossan, who says the use of mobile phones by drivers operating tractors is a matter of grave concern. He believes Gartha should be conducting more checkpoints in villages around Donegal.
With the onset of the silage season, there will be an increased number of agricultural vehicles travelling on the roads. Now, as you know, some of these are very large, high-powered vehicles, and they're sometimes being driven by very young drivers. But alarmingly, on occasions, when I pass some of these tractors, some of the people have a mobile phone planted to their ear, and I feel that it's something that should be addressed, and I think that the only way it can be halted is if the Gardaí set up spot checks inside the environs of the village to make sure that all vehicles and all drivers are observing the speed limits.
And that was Councillor Terry Crossan there. The weather forecast: a mix of sunny spells and variable cloud this evening, just a few well-scattered showers. They'll become more isolated with drier conditions developing in most places across the region by late evening. Winds mostly moderate and westerly, mainly dry overnight with long clear spells developing, just a few isolated showers again mainly along northwestern coasts. Mister fog patches may develop in near calm conditions overnight with lowest temperatures 4 to 6 degrees Celsius, light southwest or variable breezes. A mix of sunshine and scattered showers tomorrow, becoming mainly dry toward evening with clear spells, highest temperatures 12 to 14 in light to moderate westerly breezes. Main news in brief this evening: the Taoiseach and the Coalition Party leaders are being briefed about the latest developments in the cyber attacks. They're meeting with the National Cyber Security Centre and the HSC's Chief Executive. The HSC say it's going to be a slow process to get everything back up and running as normal. Most outpatient services cancelled today at Letterkenny University Hospital. Full details of the impact on the hospital on our website, highlandradio.com. The Taoiseach says he'd be very surprised if the government were to lift mandatory hotel quarantine for EU countries tomorrow. Liam Radcliffe also says he believes it'll be August before international travel returns for holiday purposes. The government's being urged to bring clarity and details on when businesses can gradually bring employees back to the office, and more jobs could be on the way to Gwyddor with a announcement today. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 17th of May. The death has taken place of Sean McHugh, 41, Marion Park, Buncrana. Removal from McLaughlin's funeral home today, going to his late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 20 past 10 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations if desired to Buncrana Nursing Unit Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and friends only, please, with a limit of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred of Brian McGivern, Kilcadden, Crossroads, Killy Gordon, Donegal. His remains are reposing at the pastoral centre beside Our Lady, Star of the Sea Church, Bundoran, for family and close friends. Removal on Thursday afternoon at 1:15 to Lakeland's Crematorium, Dublin Road, Cavan, for cremation at 3:00. In accordance with government and HSE guidelines, the reposing and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. Family home is strictly private, please. The death has taken place of Geraldine McMacken, née Corrie, to Alexandra Place, Sion Mills. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday afternoon at 1:30 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, at 2:00, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Lawrence Shields, Castletown, St. Johnson. Funeral from his sister Liz Shields' home at 381 Ardbeathen, St. Johnson, on Wednesday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnson, at 11:00. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred of Peggy Gallen, Ballinacore, Crossroads, Killigordon. Funeral from the home of her daughter, Patricia McGovern, at Drumavish Crossroads, tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, at 11:00. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page. In compliance with current HSC and government restrictions, the house funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Margaret Toland, 37, Abbey Village, Kilmacrennan. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for 11:00 Requiem Mass to St. Columba's Church, Kilmacrennan, with burial afterwards in St. Columba's Graveyard, Termon. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are limited to family, friends and neighbours only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Margaret's Requiem Mass can be viewed on the St. Columba's Church, Kilmacrennan Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St. Columba's Church, Kilmacrennan, care of any family member.